May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and salvation. So before I do actually get into this, one of the things I want to say is that I kind of lucked out getting to preach today. A couple of weeks ago, David talked about how we use a lectionary, which means that we're sort of doing this semi-continuous reading of the Bible, which means that sometimes we'll have two readings and they seem kind of random with absolutely no connection between them. And you either have to do some severe theological gymnastics to get them to match up, or you completely ignore one of them. So this didn't happen today. There is actually a bit of a very obvious theme between the two. So I don't have to ignore one of them. So I can actually talk about both of these because we're talking about people being called by God. We have the first disciples of Jesus being called by him, and we have the story of the prophet Isaiah being called by God to speak the word to his people. But because we're Christians and I like Jesus, we're going to mostly talk about Jesus. And one of the other things I want to do, because this happens with lectionary things, is fill in some blanks. So a couple of weeks ago, we heard a gospel about Jesus when he picks up his ministry. He is reading the scroll in the synagogue about how the prophet Isaiah's words are being fulfilled in their hearing. And then we move on to this one. But there's a little piece in the middle that's missing, the last bit of Luke chapter 4. And it kind of helps when you put this one in context. So what happens between Jesus picking up his ministry and this is that he's going around the area teaching in synagogues and healing people. And one of the things he's done is gone to the house of Simon and healed his mother-in-law. So if you're wondering why, when you hear this reading, why Simon would let this random person come and use his boat, or two, why Simon was calling him master, or why Simon, who fishes for a living and probably knows what he's doing, would consider taking fishing advice from an itinerant preacher who is the son of a carpenter. Well, now we know. Simon already has some information about Jesus. He's not just some random guy who came along and said, "I want to use your boat." Simon has seen Jesus in action. He has seen the power of his healing, the power of his preaching, and it makes his actions a little more understandable. He's willing to do what Jesus said because he knows something about Jesus' power already. So even though healing people and fishing are kind of unrelated, Simon Peter decides that Jesus, Master, is someone exceptional, and I will do what you say. I will do what you say for who you are and what you have done. And of course, we see what happens. He did as Jesus asked, and he's rewarded with an astonishing catch of fish, enough fish to break the nets and nearly sink the boats, two boats. So in exchange for the boats, they've got a reward. They've been paid. Now, just to sort of switch streams here for a bit. In our life groups, we've been going through the course How to Be Unsuccessful, where we've been exploring how being successful in following God's way can look like being unsuccessful to the world, how living our life in Christ, following God's call, doesn't necessarily look like what other people in the world would call being successful. So here's a biblical example of that. Peter, James, John, and their companions could have taken that whole lot of fish and gone to the market and sold it, and probably made a pretty good penny off of that. They could have cashed in, taken the money, put it aside for a bit, or, you know, done whatever you do when you got a lot of money suddenly. Or they could leave it behind. They could leave it on the shore with their boats, the source of their income, and follow Jesus. And all of them left their boats, their source of income, left the huge catch of fish, which would have set them up nicely for a bit, and followed Jesus. They traded in their material wealth for life with Christ. They walked away from worldly success and followed Jesus. So the other side of that too is when we're looking at success in following Jesus, who did Jesus actually call to hear the good news and carry on his ministry? Fishermen. Not people who you would think were particularly well equipped to spread the good news and continue Jesus' work. Not people who were necessarily learned or eloquent or charismatic. And I mean, goodness knows, when we hear about Peter, he's going to make all sorts of mistakes and say all sorts of stupid things. But Jesus never surrounded himself with a successful people. He didn't surround himself with teachers and scholars. He didn't choose the type of people you would expect to be successful. He chose the people you would least expect, not the best people. The movement Jesus was starting did not look like it could be successful, not with these people. They weren't successful people. They weren't the best people. But what they were the ones who would give up their security, give up the safety of the life they knew, and follow him. So they were the ones who would respond to God's call. Now, call is one of those churchy words that makes people uncomfortable. It sounds like something great people like Peter, who's going to be, you know, the great disciple, or Isaiah, the great prophet, has the biggest book in the old of all the prophets. The great people respond to God's call. Moses, all these other people. We think of being called by God, and we think of all these great important people. They were the special ones. The special ones are the ones that God calls. But then when we look at that, what we see in the Bible over and over is that God calls the ordinary people. God's son Jesus was raised by a carpenter and his wife. The good news after Pentecost was spread by fishermen, tax collectors, and assorted other ordinary people. So God can call us. God can call us as ordinary people. That is really, really great news. And now, so God is calling you, and that is good news. But there is, you might think this is bad news. You've all answered. I know that because you've all come here. So you have all answered God's call. Congratulations. So just like Jesus called Peter, James, John, others to leave their boats and follow them, today you got up. You left your homes, either physically or remotely, and you've come to begin your journey of discipleship. That is your first step. Just answering. The part that comes next is called discernment, and that's the tricky part. Now, if you've, next time you're waiting for the service to start, you might want to take a look at the slides, because as you go through this process, we've identified kind of four steps. Connecting, Roxanne mentioned how we have this, these events for youth to come and connect to the church, baby cafe, these things where people can walk in the doors. Then exploring, growing, and leading. Like I say, next time you're waiting for the service, you'll see it up on the slide. So you've all done the first step. You've all connected. You've connected with people. You've connected with our church. This may be the step you're at right now. That's great. It is a step. You may be new to this church. You may be new to church in general. I don't know. But you're here. That's fantastic because it means that you have heard God calling and you are here. Your next step, and you can be at any given step at any given time, and you can be in more than one, just so you know. The next step is to explore. Your next step is to explore your faith in Jesus Christ. You're here because you want to learn and you want to have a life in Christ. And not just coming to church, there are other ways you can do this. If you go to our website, stgeorgemapleridge.ca, you could join the waitlist for Alpha, because I know we're going to run that in the future, aren't we? Yeah, okay, good. And you can learn to explore what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Next, we grow. We grow deeper in our faith as disciples of Christ. And many of us find this through our life groups, as well as coming to church. We grow through Bible reading, we grow through study, we grow through engaging with other people and through books and all sorts of ways through, again, life groups. And if you're interested in that, website, talk to Roxanne or David. The next step is to lead people to Jesus and to lead like Jesus. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be tapping you on the shoulder and saying, it's your turn, you get up and talk about this in front of the church. Don't worry, that's not going to happen. And you might not lead a service, but there are places for people to lead. We all have a role to play in building up the body of Christ. For those of us who are in the Growing Leaders program, that's something we've been wrestling with, is what is God calling us to do in this place? What is God calling us to do to be his disciple? It's not a fast answer. It is a process, and it can change from time to time. These steps are fluid. And I know for my own part, I can land in one or the other at any given time. We are always exploring our faith. We are always growing as disciples, and we are always learning to lead people to Christ. Each step in our journey is part of our discernment in what role God is asking us to play in the building up of the kingdom. So you don't have to be afraid of that word call. God is calling you. God is asking you to do something. God is asking you to listen to what he might be saying to you. And whether or not you, me, anybody, thinks that we are the right person for the job, there is nothing about us that cannot be made right and used by God. We saw that in the reading with Isaiah, a man of unclean lips. But God says, I can make you clean. I can make things right with you. I can make you the person that is needed in this time and place. So like Peter and the other disciples in the moment, we don't know what following Jesus might entail. It is a step in faith to leave what we know and explore what we don't know. And you've all made that decision. You have made a decision to follow Jesus. You've heard something that brought you here to a community where you can gather to praise God, to pray for yourself and others, to hear the word. And whether you're new or you've been here for years, yes, you've responded. And now comes the best part, exploring that, growing in that, and finding out where that might lead you. Growing in faith, sharing our faith, and continue to learn what God wants for each of us and how we are working to follow his call and bring about the kingdom. So we're going to take just a minute and pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to this place, that you have called us and touched our hearts. We ask you as we work into these next steps that your calm be made clear to us, the path set for us, that we might find the people who will help us discern and learn and grow and find what our role is in your kingdom. We know you are with us at every step, and we thank you for this also. In Jesus' name, amen.